take your copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 22 will be our text for this morning. Thank you so much for our music and worship team and those who serve in so many different ways in our church. Let me encourage you again tonight, our community group kickoff night. We'll also have some ice cream afterwards, so come on out tonight, and we're going to pray for our community groups and midweek discipleship and have some time of joy together with one another afterwards. Also, I would just was asked to mention, some of you know Flor Ortiz, who's been impacted through many ministries in our church, especially our women's Bible study, passed away suddenly yesterday morning, and we are going to pray for her family and for her friends. She had recently had a renewed desire to pursue the Lord and deepen her relationship with Christ, and so we trust that she is with the Lord, but we're going to pray especially for her family here in just a few moments. We are in our study, The Fear of the Lord, looking at God's wisdom and God's Word. We are presented with two outcomes, to choose the way of wisdom or to choose the way of folly. God speaks as if it were to my son, to all of us today. Let's read God's Word together, Proverbs 2, 1 through 22, and then we will pray and seek God's blessing on our time. This is the Word of God. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and are devious in all their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the path of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. O Lord, we come to you meekly, humbly, knowing that it's only through Christ that we're able to inhabit the earth, to inherit the land, to be with you forever in the heavenly places. Lord, we pray for the family and friends of Flora and her sudden passing. And Lord, we just ask for your blessing on them, and that through the testimony of her life that they may seek Christ and come to know you. Father, we praise you that we are able to minister her even for a short time. God, help us to know and to discern the paths that you have for us in our life. Help us to heed the call of wisdom and to seek for it, to search for it. And God, I just pray if there's one whose heart is hard to your wisdom, to hard to your ways, that you will soften their hearts and see the joy and the beauty and the delight of coming to Christ. Be with us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is the author and the source of all true wisdom. To find wisdom, to find especially spiritual wisdom, as the book of Proverbs is giving us, we must go to the spiritual source. We must go to God himself. God is the one who grants wisdom. God is the one who bestows wisdom because he is its author. He is its source. When we come to God through his word, when we come to God through his son, we begin to discern his wisdom and discern his ways. Friends, this is critical for us to understand. We've been presented the last 2 weeks in Proverbs that there are two paths that one can go on. One, the path of life, the way of wisdom, or the path of death, the way and the outcome of the world. There's only two outcomes. There's not a third route. I don't know about you, but sometimes, like, and probably many of you are Texans here, you understand this. You ever try to beat the GPS by finding an alternate route or a secret way where you can beat the time? You know, that time when it says arriving at 12:41, you're like, ha-ha, watch me. I'm going to beat the time. I'm going to look for a third way. Well, friends, when it comes to God's word and God's ways, you can't beat the GPS. There's not a third alternate back roads route that you can take. It's either the way of life or the way of death. And these are presented to us. The world is grabbing at the young man's attention. The world is grabbing at our attention. And in the flesh, we saw last week that the troublemaker's way looks good. They offer quick power. They offer quick wealth. They offer quick friendships and belongings. Wisdom's way is hard. Wisdom's way is challenging. It's personified as a woman in Proverbs 1 calling out. And wisdom offers to change not just our path, but to change our hearts. When you come to God, he actually changes and shapes your heart. In fact, he's even the one who changes your heart to bring you to him. These things are working. Through the fear of the Lord, our hearts are changed. And this passage calls us to understand the way of God, to understand the fear of the Lord, to make sure we're listening to the right voice, to his word and to his truth. We see that in verse 5, if you look at it. It says in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. That's our goal, to understand what it means to fear the Lord. The word understand actually means to pay attention to heed, to perceive, to discern, to turn your whole heart's attention toward. And any of you ladies who are married know how sometimes that you can be talking to your husband and he says, yeah, I hear you. And you're like, no, I know you hear me, but are you listening to me? You give instruction to your kids. You're like, yeah, mom, I heard you. And you're like, no, you heard me, but you weren't listening to me. Proverbs doesn't just call us to hear God's word. It calls us to listen to God's word, to discern it, to understand it with our whole heart. Give it its proper value, its proper attention. What we're going to see here is two requirements of wisdom that God presents, and then two results of wisdom. They're presented to us as couplets, like two things together, and then two things together. And as a pair, they actually help us see the beauty of both of them in harmony. Like a married couple, a husband and wife are individuals, but they're also one. And by being together, you see the beauty and the value of both of them together. In God's word here, we're going to see two requirements of wisdom, how they come together, and then two results of wisdom and how they come together. This passage calls us to diligent devotion to God. Diligent devotion to God brings delightful deliverance. And I said this to my wife last night. She said, that's a lot of D's. That sounds really complicated. If I had to summarize it in this way and rewrite it in normal talk, listen with your heart. Listen with your heart. This is what Proverbs 2 is all about. Listen with your heart. We see in verses 1 through 4, God's wisdom requires diligence. My son, pay attention. And he is calling the son and calling us to prepare our hearts to receive God's wisdom. You can't take wisdom on full blast. You can't take wisdom undiluted without preparation. Your heart must be ready to receive it. As West Texans, we know that when it hasn't rained in a while, how the ground can get really hard. And then suddenly when a gully washer comes, the rain hits the ground. And the ground desperately needs the rain, but if the ground is not softened and prepared, it bounces off of it and rolls away. Our hearts must be prepared to receive God's wisdom. Solomon is telling his son, and God's word is telling us this. And he says, if you receive my words, if you call out to me, if you seek wisdom, it will come to you. Wisdom is conditional. It's not automatic. It's something that must be intentionally received and prepared. If you receive my words and treasure my commands, if you call out for insight, if you seek for it like silver. There's a story in the ancient world of Philip II of Macedon. He was the father of Alexander the Great. You may know in history that Alexander the Great conquered the known world, but before him, his father, Philip, united the Greek city-states to be one united Greece. And through his father's preparation of uniting Greece, then Alexander was able to take the campaign to the rest of the world. Philip of Macedon was conquering each of the small Greek city-states, and he came to the nation of Sparta. Now, by this time, Sparta had fallen into disrepair. This was not Sparta of 300. All right, this was old Sparta. This was weak Sparta. They were going to be easy for Philip to conquer. Their glory days were past. But they had not lost a single bit of their attitude. And Philip wrote this letter to Sparta demanding their surrender. He said to the Spartans, "You must submit without delay. For if I bring my army to your land, I will destroy your farms. I will slay your people and I will burn your cities. Surrender now." Well, the Spartan leaders considered Philip's call to surrender. And they wrote back a letter to Philip. And in that letter was one word: if. If you come, this will happen. Philip saw the wisdom and gave Sparta a pass and moved on. This if requires our attention. If requires effort and intentionality. And there are so many verbs that call us to action, to be diligent to receive God's wisdom. Look at those in your Bible. And maybe you have different words and they're translated a little bit differently into English. Note the action: receive, treasure, attend, incline, call, raise your voice, seek for wisdom, search for it. A call to action. And all of these seeking, and all of this seeking of God, it comes from a motivation of the heart. If your heart's not motivated to seek wisdom, you won't. If your heart is not inclined to God's word, you won't pursue it. Verse 2 tells us to make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. The center of the will, the center of your desires, the center of your emotions. When someone says, "I love you with all my heart," it doesn't mean I love you with my blood-pumping organ right here. It means everything about me, all of my desires, all of my emotions, all of my love is poured out on you. God calls us to seek Him with our whole heart. To take every part of our efforts into seeking Him out, in verse 4, like silver. Searching for it like hidden treasures. Like the pearl of great price that Jesus talks about, we pursue. If I told you right now, this is not true, sorry, that in your hymnal, somewhere in a hymnal in this sanctuary, was a $1 bill. Some of you, out of curiosity, might grab one and open it up and look for it. If I told you there was a $10 bill, some of you might get a little bit more interested. But if I told you there was $1,000 in 10 crisp Benjamins in one of these hymnals, suddenly nobody'd be paying attention to the message. You'd be ripping out hymnals and digging through pages and seeking that treasure that was right in front of you. That means that we value something and we pursue it with all sorts of effort. It takes diligent desperation, hunger for God, desire to go through whatever challenge and obstacle it might face to pursue the Lord in His ways. Just like a hungry person who's been offered free food, we go to the Lord. I was thinking this week, I would do a lot of things for free food. I will fight a crowd at Whataburger for my $6 free Whataburger. I will dress up like a cow and put spots on and fight the crowd just for my free chicken sandwich. Because there's a desire there, a a heart longing for the blessing and the joy that that juicy Whataburger, that delicious Chick-fil-A with extra pickles, I like extra pickles, will be. How much more should we seek God's wisdom? How much more should we pursue the Lord more like silver and like treasure? Friends, God promises when we come to Him hungry that we will leave satisfied. Be diligent in your pursuit of wisdom. Be diligent in your pursuit of God's word. Be diligent in your pursuit of God's ways, because when we do that, God changes our hearts to seek more of wisdom and to seek more of Him. Look, God's wisdom doesn't just require effort. It requires devotion. It requires worship. It's about the attitude of the heart. Verses 1 through 4 say, if, but then verse 5 says, then. Here's the result. If you do this, then this will happen. If you are diligent, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. If you pursue Christ, then you will come to worship Him. Because the source of true wisdom is revealed. It's God Himself in verse 6. The Lord is the one who gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now this sounds like it's two different things. And you're like, Pastor, wait a second, which one is it? Is it that I seek wisdom and then I'll find it? Or is it that the Lord is giving me wisdom and then I'll seek it? The answer is yes. The answer is that both of these things are at work, that God in His sovereignty has ordained things where He bestows wisdom as its source and He calls us to seek Him. And the more we pursue Christ, the more we pursue His design, the more we go to His word, the more we receive it. Pursuing wisdom is an action endeavor. It's a lifelong pursuit. God is the one who gives it, and so we seek wisdom from its source. Take your Bibles and look at Job chapter 28. Job is just before Proverbs and Psalms. Job chapter 28. Job who's gone through trials. Job who's lost his family. Job who has been asked to give a defense of his continued devotion to God by his friends speaks of how we go to God for a source of wisdom. Job is speaking to his friends here, and he talks about in Job 28 in the first 9 verses about how man will dig into the earth. He'll create a mine for silver. He'll dig for gold, and he'll pull out iron ore from the rock. And how he'll till the bread, or till the earth, so that way bread and grain come out of it. He talks about how man will subdue the earth and its beasts, but when it comes to wisdom, nobody knows where to find it. It's not like you can dig and there's a mine that says, "Wisdom here, dig deep." You'll find it at the bottom. There's a treasure chest labeled wisdom. Verse 9, Job says that man puts his hand to the flinty rock. He overturns mountains by the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eyes sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams so that they will not trickle, and this thing that is hidden he brings out to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, that's the ocean, the deep says, it's not in me, I don't have wisdom. The sea says, it's not with me. Wisdom cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed at its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in the precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or its crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? Where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living. It's concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, we have heard rumor of it with our ears. Think of it. The grave, the most powerful force, the unstoppableness of death is like, you know, I've heard a rumor of wisdom. I know it's out there somewhere. Even death doesn't know where to find it. But here's where wisdom is. Verse 23, God understands the way of it. He knows its place. For he looks to the end of earth and sees everything under heavens, and when he gave to the wind its weight and appointed the waters by measure, when God made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then he saw it and declared, he established it and he searched it out. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To turn away from evil is understanding. God grants wisdom, not in a mine, not in the ocean. We go to God to understand God. God is the one who calls us to pursue him, and God is the one who grants wisdom. And when we go to the Lord, verse 7, it says that God has stored up wisdom for the upright. There's a treasure chest of it ready to be given to his people. He's not stingy. I'll give you a little bit of wisdom here. It's stored up when we devote our hearts to God. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards our paths and helps us understand the ways of his saints. In verse 9, then you shall understand righteousness, justice, and equity in every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart. Wisdom will come into your heart. It won't just fill your head with information. Wisdom will change your heart. Friends, God's wisdom isn't merely about head knowledge. God's wisdom is not just about knowing the facts. It is about a heart being transformed by God. God is not seeking bigger brains. God is seeking transformed hearts. His Spirit changes our hearts when we come to him. When we call out to the Lord through the work of the Holy Spirit, we're transformed into the image and the glory of Christ. Proverbs 4:23 says that wisdom is a matter of the heart. Next week, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your brain. No, it doesn't say that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wisdom calls us to worship for our affections and our desires to be changed. God in his sovereignty transforms us to desire him, the source of truth, the source of wisdom. Knowledge is important. Friends, we need to go and study theology and deep doctrine, because in studying these things, we actually begin to have our hearts changed. But by studying God, we have our hearts transformed. We don't just go to win the Bible Jeopardy contest. We go because we want to be like our Creator and we want to love him more and understand his gospel more. You cannot worship what you don't know. But you can't also truly know something that you don't worship. The Lord is the one who pours out wisdom. The Lord is the one who puts wisdom into our hearts. And he is the one who promises to watch over our ways. He preserves his saints. And if you've trusted in Christ, the one who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Friends, wisdom requires diligence and effort, but also God's wisdom requires the devotion of the heart in worship. And what will be the results of coming to God, seeking his wisdom and his word, of knowing Christ and having our hearts transformed? It's going to result in our deliverance. Because you see, the young man has some enemies. He has some people who are after him. God promises in verse 12 to deliver us from the way of evil. He in verse 16 delivers us from the forbidden woman. Two dangers coming after this young man. Notice the similarities in both of them. There are evil men with perverse speech. It's twisted speech. It's taking what God has and kind of shaping it for their own ways. We saw them last week in chapter 1 that they promise wealth. They promise power. They promise belonging. Quick results if you come with us. But we also now have another one. The evil woman, the forbidden woman of smooth speech. Her promise is quick pleasure, quick gratification, quick acceptance. Two different temptations, one seemingly dark and one seemingly light, but both are different lanes to the same path. Both of them lead to death. It's illustrated, and the scripture helps us to see it in your orientation and your direction. Note how when we have God's wisdom, that it keeps us upright. It keeps our heads up and keeps us focused on God, and our paths are smooth, our paths are straight. But when we turn from God's ways, the ways of evil, it's twisted, it's crooked. The paths get weeble wobbly and lead to destruction. It's a slow but sure downhill slope. The forbidden woman, we'll see her play out in chapters 5 and 7. She's the antithesis of wisdom. She copies what wisdom does, but offers the easy way out. Notice here that there's nothing about her looks. It's all about her words. It's what she promises the young man. She's alluring. She's mysterious. But she's a covenant breaker. She is evil to the core. She is seeking out the destruction of the young man because she hates God. She has forgotten the covenant of her God. The term is a forbidden woman, a strange woman. This is this idea that's outside of God's promised blessings. It's something that God has said no to. Like the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is forbidden. But she says, come and look at it. Won't it be great? Come for a little taste. Come to see what it would be like. But this evil is so deceptive. The young man doesn't realize that her house, in verse 18, sinks down to death. Her paths are towards the departed. And none who go to her will come back, nor do they regain the path of life. The young man thinks, I can take a step down this way. I can go a little bit further. I can go a little bit more and enjoying this evil. But the reality is like the gravitational force of a black hole. Once you're inside, you can't ever get out. Evil men scheme and plot against God. The evil woman schemes and breaks God's word. The young man, this man of God, this man who wants to follow God and follow his ways, he needs help. One, he might be able to handle, but two is a lot. If you've ever been double-teamed in a sports competition, you know you might be able to handle one, but two is a whole different story. He needs an ally. He needs help. And that's why God promises deliverance. He has promised God's wisdom. When we go to the Lord and we go to His Word, there is a promise of God's salvation. What's interesting here, that this word deliverance, in verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil, verse 16, delivering from the forbidden woman, this deliverance is not just keeping you out of it. Sometimes you're delivered by something by not ever getting into it. But this word deliverance is also used of the Exodus. It's also used when people are in bondage and in slavery and unable to free themselves. And God in His power, God in His grace, delivers and redeems and restores and rescues. Friends, you cannot escape the temptations of evil in your flesh. You can't overcome sin by your own efforts. But in the gospel, in the grace of God, there is deliverance to all who will cry out to Him. God promises to deliver. God promises to redeem. God promises an exodus to save you out of it. Friends, we've just got to admit we've got an enemy and admit we need the Lord. The fear of the Lord is your only hope for deliverance. God promises salvation to all who call upon Him. But notice also, not only are we delivered from this evil, not only were we saved and rescued from it, we're actually given an inheritance. Just like the meek will inherit the earth, God's wisdom results in our inheritance, in our delight. These temptations lead to the way of death, but God's way leads to the path of life. The simple, smooth, easy way is that of death. The narrow way, but the gate of Christ, leads to life. Notice in verse 20, we will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. The upright will inherit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. This is speaking of the promises in Deuteronomy to those who follow God's law, that they will remain in this promised land. This land secure in God's covenant blessings. This land flowing of milk and honey. God promises to all who call upon Him, all who go to His wisdom and His ways, all who confess their need for a Savior and trust in Christ as Lord, God promises delight. God promises true joy. God promises the path of righteousness, and God promises security. God promises that we will be anchored in Christ. In Ephesians 1, even sealed for every blessing in the spiritual places. Friends, it's only found in God. God is not a cosmic killjoy who's trying to keep you away from fun. God's not trying to keep you away from happiness. He's not trying to keep you away from the things that you enjoy. God is actually promising you something so much greater, something so much more joyful, and something so much more life-giving. The writer C.S. Lewis said it in this sort of way, and I'm going to paraphrase his quote. He says, it's like a child who wants to keep playing in the dumpster because he doesn't know how beautiful a vacation to the ocean will be. God promises the vacation to the ocean, delight in Him with life everlasting. Psalm 16:11 says it this way, at your right hand is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God's way, God's delight is in you and to give you life for eternity because of His great love. Coming to God in His wisdom results in joy. It results in delight. So friends, these two together, diligence and devotion, seeking God and worshiping Him and letting our hearts be transformed by Him, and deliverance and delight, saved from evil, saved from destruction, redeemed and rescued from the curse of death that sin brings, and placed into delight in God's presence forevermore. This is the way of wisdom. This is what it means to fear the Lord, to understand Him and His ways. So friends, let me bring this together for you in a practical application sort of way. You might be like, I'm seeing this. I want diligence. I want to worship God in my heart. How do I do that? I want to be delivered from sin. I want to be delivered from this path of death. And I long for this joy. Friends, let me call you and encourage you from this text to diligently seek God's wisdom, to diligently pursue the Lord. This may mean in your personal devotion time, preparing your heart before you read your scripture. It may mean that you need to wake up an hour earlier to make a Bible study. It may mean that you need to be more prepared for Sunday school when you come. We need to seek God's wisdom and God's word like silver. More than $100 bills. We seek the Lord and for our hearts to be transformed by Him. Friends, let me also encourage you to devote your heart to God's wisdom. Not just your actions, but actions that flow from the heart. The promise of the gospel is that in Christ we're given a new heart. our heart of stone that's hard to the things of God is removed, and a heart of flesh is given to us, soft and responsive to the things of God. When we realize that our heart is devoted to other things, when our heart longs for other things beside God, we need to repent of those things, to turn from those idols that our hearts create, and to pursue and to love Christ. We do that through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit in our life, relying on Him and His ways to give us the wisdom we need to follow Him. Friends, does your heart love something more than Christ? I can't tell you how excited I am about college football season being back. I am so excited for the season. I'll pray for you, brother. Somebody just flashed a sports sign. I'll pray for him. It's the other team. I'm so excited for that. But more than that, my heart longs for the joy of that. How much more should we long for God? To long for His ways. Friends, devote your heart to God's wisdom. Brothers and sisters, let me plead with you to call to the Lord for deliverance. God, the one who redeems. God, the one who leads us through a spiritual exodus. God, the one who delivers us from the power and the bondage of sin and brings us to the land of delight and blessing. God promises to deliver. God promises to save all those who will call upon Him. If you look at your life and you realize, I'm stuck with these evil guys. I've listened to their twisted, perverted speech, and I've gone off into the paths of uprightness, off of them. I've gone into the way of darkness. Jesus saves even from utter darkness. Jesus delivers even from the household of death. We all need deliverance from sin. And praise God that His grace and His gospel is great enough to overcome even the strongest darkness. Call out to Christ for deliverance. Trust in Him. Receive His free gift of eternal salvation. Your sins can be forgiven. And you can be made new in the Lord Jesus. And lastly, delight in God's path. Find joy in Jesus. Delight in Him. Don't delight in created things. Don't delight in the things that will pass away, that will be cut off, that will be rooted out. Delight in the way of integrity, the way of Christ, and dwell secure in Him forever. Brothers and sisters, God calls us to a heart of devotion, a heart of diligence. He promises to save. He promises to give us life eternal. Come to Jesus and believe in Him today. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank You that You deliver and save sinners. Lord, we confess and we admit in our own hearts and our own paths that we've listened to the wrong speech. We've gone off in the ways and that we can't deliver ourselves from them, but through Christ we can be redeemed. Lord, we repent today of not diligently seeking You. Lord, we repent of going to You half-heartedly in prayer and study. Lord, help us to pursue You with our whole heart, to seek You like silver and treasure. God, thank You that You are the one who grants wisdom. You're the one who even gives the desire for it. And Lord, we pray and ask that You give us as Your people more and more of a longing for You. And where our hearts are tempted by other things, God, may we realize that those won't satisfy, those won't delight. Let's fix our eyes on Christ and find our ultimate delight and joy in Him. In the name of Jesus, the Savior who rescues, the Savior who redeems, we pray. Amen.